Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
Is it possible that right here in America, censorship could be coming our way to the point that you and I would no longer have freedom of speech in terms of our religious and spiritual convictions? And could it be that censorship is already here?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
You know, with all the talk about the political rhetoric today, it's got me thinking about several things, a bunch of issues that pertain to us as believers. And one of them is not just the question of censorship, not just the question of freedom of speech, not just the question of are there forces in society that would like to silence you and me. It's led me to another question. I've been reflecting about it before the show today, which is this. Are there any Christian voices to the nation? Can you name for me a Christian leader who is speaking to the nation? A Christian leader who is representing God's heart, God's voice to the nation? If I ask you, name for me somebody. If you watch the news, you watch secular news, if you're in touch with what's happening in the media, can you tell me someone who, as a Christian leader, is speaking to the nation? Or even more simply, can you tell me someone who you really feel is a voice to the body today, the voice to the body of Christ today? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. As always, you can post your opinions and thoughts on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I want to tell you that the issue of censorship has been on my mind for some time. And it's not just because we work with persecuted believers in other parts of the world. It's because of the research I've done and the issue of gay activism. I remember taking a long drive. Nancy and I were on our way to visit dear friends in Texas, driving down from Maryland. So it was a many-hour drive. And we were listening to the radio. I'm fairly sure it was on this particular trip. So this would have been the late 80s or early 90s. And I remember hearing some family, Christian radio, family radio, and they were talking about things having to do with gay activism. I remember saying to Nancy, boy, I never would have thought that gay activists would somehow be having this kind of impact on our society. Of course, one reason was you'd think of the homosexual community as beaten down, as oppressed, as despised, as outcast, as suffering in different ways, and outsiders, as opposed to those that were somehow wielding power in any way. And I'm sure many gays and lesbians would still say, hey, that's our lot. We are oppressed. We are hated. We are outsiders. But as I researched, massive research for my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and right up to the last moment as we're getting ready to send it to print, adding in whatever references are relevant, I continue to be troubled, concerned over what you can only call gay censorship. In other words, censorship of views that differ with gay activism. But it leads me to ask some questions. Now please understand, I'm not just talking about political issues. I hope you know me well enough to know that is not my focus. My focus is Kingdom of God issues, and that plays out in different areas of life. But I'm not talking about political issues primarily. I'm talking about simply us having a voice. Simply us saying that people can change by the power of the gospel from any condition or any orientation or any lifestyle. I'm talking about holding to biblical viewpoints, that the day is knocking at our door. It is almost here where we will no longer be able to do that. And whether it gets to that point or not, a lot depends on it. I want to talk to you about it. But here's a bigger issue I've been chewing on. You know, Jesus said that if you have a little and you don't use it, the little that you have will be taken from you, right? To whom much is given, much is required. But the biblical principle is if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful with much. If you're faithful in that which belongs to someone else, then you'll be faithful with that which belongs to yourself. If you're faithful with earthly riches, then you can be trusted with spiritual riches. Those are the principles Jesus lays out in Luke 16. I personally believe that we have not been faithful with what we have, that we have not been faithful with the voice that we do have, that we have not been faithful to speak out when it costs us almost nothing. What makes us think that when it's going to cost us a lot, we're suddenly going to start to speak out? What makes us think that when it's costly to stand for righteousness, when it's costly to speak out against wrong things in our society, when it's costly, when there's a real price to pay, because right now there's almost no price to pay. Oh, yeah, there's little problems and issues, and some people have gotten fired, and I know it's costly for them personally. But by and large, for most of us, it's not costly. If we're not willing to speak out when things are easy, if we're not willing to speak out when we have virtually free access to radio, TV, and can say whatever in the world we want to say from our pulpits within reason, if we are afraid to do that now, what makes us think we're going to suddenly get bold when it gets difficult? What makes us think we're going to suddenly get full of fire and faith when it's actually costly to stand up for what's right? You know, when Jeremiah had come to the end of his rope, Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, which follows on the heels of persecution and even from his own family and hometown in the end of the 11th chapter, and threats to kill him, plots to kill him, he has a bit of a breakdown. And he says, God, and if you want to get more depth in this, read my commentary on the book of Jeremiah. You can readily get it. Go to our website or any Christian bookstore. In the New Expositor's Bible Commentary series. And I open up what Jeremiah says. He's upset with God, and he says, basically, look, I know you're always going to come out in the right. I mean, you're big, strong God. You're always going to come out in the right if I complain. But I don't like the way you're running your universe. He's basically upset because he's gotten to a breaking point. Now, he never broke publicly. He was a bronze wall, an immovable pillar. He was unshakable. He was unbelievably strong. In public, never back down, but sometimes privately, he cracked before God. The pressure is unbelievable. And he says, oh, okay, I don't like the way you run your universe, basically, in short, the way you run the world. And God says to him, oh, yeah? Yeah? You're having problems now? What are you going to do when it gets really hard? What are you going to do when you get into the big city? You can't handle a nonotote. What are you going to do in Jerusalem? Yeah, it looks like the wicked are prospering and the righteous are suffering and the curse is on the earth and things don't look right. But Jeremiah, it's a whole lot bigger than you and it's a whole lot bigger than what you understand. The point is, if we're getting worn out with footmen, to use the analogy of Jeremiah 12, how in the world are we going to run with the horses? So my question is, are we speaking? Do we have a voice now? Oh, yeah, listen, Kevin Jennings, founder of GLSEN, which stands for the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, but I say it's better, the Gay, Lesbian, Sex Education Network. Washington Times, July 27th, 2004. Quote, ex-gay messages have no place in our nation's public schools. A line has been drawn. There is no other side when you're talking about lesbian, gay, and bisexual students. Don't believe me? Okay, try this out. Try this out. Find out if your school has a gay straight alliance. Middle school, high school, has a GSA, a gay straight alliance. Find out if there's gay friendly curriculum in the schools, or elementary school on. Then see if you can get a table set up or a discussion group set up or something going where you bring in people to talk about the possibility of being ex-gay. Or not even a religious message. Just simply come in and bring up that topic. See if you're able to bring that into the schools. The school's having some type of a forum, and they're going to discuss these issues. Say, oh, I notice they're having a forum where people are coming out, talking about how they've come out into homosexuality and how their life is better because of it and so on, or health issues they want to talk to the kids about. We'd like to bring somebody in that has come out of homosexuality and would like to share that viewpoint, that option with the kids. See if you can get that in your school. Again, Kevin Jennings, who has now been appointed by our president as the Safe Schools Czar. Ex-gay messages have no place in our nation's public schools. A line has been drawn. There is no other side when you're talking about lesbian, gay, bisexual students. I mentioned on the show yesterday. I'm going to read a bit more to you. CNN is under pressure from GLAAD. GLAAD is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I am officially renaming them today. GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D, is no longer the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, but the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, because they are calling on CNN to ban all, quote, anti-gay voices and what they call dangerous anti-gay rhetoric and the hurtful words and attitudes of these people. In other words, there can be no difference. There can be no disagreement. There is no other side. I'm going to be a broken record and speak to pastors and leaders again. If we do not speak up now, our voices are about to be taken from us. I, by God's grace, am not going to have my voice taken. We'll be back. Well, I'm still speaking, still have a voice. Glad you're still listening, Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. We're talking about censorship, talking about the question of whether our voice will be threatened, whether someone will try to take it away, and a bigger question, do we have a voice to America? Is the church speaking to America today? Do you think there are Christian leaders out there, and I'd be thrilled if you can name some names that I could agree with, do you think there are Christian leaders out there that in any way are speaking to the nation, that have a voice to the nation, not just to the church? And if I ask you, within the church, who do you feel has a voice to the church? Not just a good teacher, but is a voice, is bringing truth in a way that is alerting, changing, impacting. Who's out there making a difference? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I would not ask you to call in with negative views. I would not ask you to call in and speak against people. But I'm very happy for you to call in with positive views and speak on behalf of people. By the way, when you visit our website, AskDrBrown.org, another reminder, two of my best classes I've taught through the years, Jewish Roots and Principles of Revival, 12 hours of material are available video on demand, which means you study at your own pace, in your own home, as you have opportunity, or however you want to download whatever media way you want to download it, take the class in your own time over a three-month period. That's at our website, AskDrBrown.org. Okay, let me lighten the mood for a moment here. As I've heard complaints over the years that the rhetoric in the campaigns is getting too extreme and too intense and people are speaking in ways they shouldn't, I've said to myself, you know, I kind of remember in American history that things were pretty bad at different times, that the rhetoric was pretty intense. Let me find this here. Go through my notes. Here we go. 1828 presidential election. Andrew Jackson faced accusations. Are you ready? Quote, that he was a murderer. I'm sorry to laugh at these words, but these were accusations in political campaigns brought against Andrew Jackson. Quote, he was a murderer and a cannibal, and his wife was a prostitute. This is according to an article written by Professor John Gear, a political science professor at Vanderbilt University. Could you imagine accusations like that today? You're a murderer and a cannibal, and your wife is a prostitute. Yikes. Abraham Lincoln, according to Stephen Douglas, Douglas called him a horrid-looking wretch, sooty and scoundrelly in aspect, a cross between the nutmeg dealer, the horse swapper, and the nightmare. Douglas also said Lincoln is the leanest, lankiest, most ungainly mass of legs and arms and hatchet face ever strung on a single frame. Could you imagine attacks like that on people's looks today? According to an interview in the New York Times with Joseph Cummins, author of Anything for a Vote, Dirty Tricks, Cheap Shots, and October Surprises, Lincoln was accused of having stinky feet. And Cummins said Martin Van Buren was accused of wearing women's corsets. The accuser was Davy Crockett. All right, before I go to the phones, I want you to hear something very clever. This was put together by Reason TV, at AskDrBrown.org on the Line of Fire. We have a link to the article with the video that you're about to hear. You're going to hear the audio of this video. And what it does is it takes the campaign between Adams and Jefferson. Now, this is when Jefferson was Adams' vice president. Okay, the beginning of our nation. It takes the rhetoric in the campaigns of Adams and Jefferson and makes them into contemporary TV commercials. Okay, so it uses their actual words. It does use the word, by the way, for illegitimate child along the way, the old word for that you have in the King James of Hebrews 12. So I just want to alert you that is coming. All right, first it's going to talk about modern politicians and how we have to change things and what they have to say. Then it's going to go back to, 210 plus years.
Some political watchers are saying this could be the nastiest, most negative election season of all time.
This campaign season seems like candidates have taken dirty to a whole new level.
When pundits start shouting and politicians start calling each other's names, it can seem like a return to civility is not possible. Like the very idea is a relic of some bygone era.
John Adams is a blind, bald, crippled, toothless man who wants to start a war with France. While he's not busy importing mistresses from Europe, he's trying to marry one of his sons to a daughter of King George. Haven't we had enough monarchy in America?
I'm Thomas Jefferson, and I approve this message because John Adams is a hideous, hermaphroditical character with neither the force and firmness of a man nor the gentleness and sensibility of a woman.
If Thomas Jefferson wins, murder, robbery, rape, adultery, and incest will be openly taught and practiced. The air will be rent with the cries of the distressed. The soil will be soaked with blood and the nation black with crimes. Are you prepared to see your dwellings in flames, female chastity violated, children writhing on a pike?
I'm John Adams, and I approve this message. Because Jefferson is the son of a half-breed Indian squaw raised on hoe cakes, and Hamilton is a Creole bastard brat of a Scotch peddler.
The nastiest, most negative election
candidates have taken dirty to a whole new
It can life. Seem like a return to civility is not possible.
Can you believe that? I mean, that's really well done, the way they make it contemporary. But those are the actual words that would calling Adams, Jefferson, calling the president at that time, so as he's the vice president, hermaphroditical, neither male nor female fully. Yikes. So we've had some pretty dirty campaigning in the past. Of course, I'd like to see people be more civil, especially those that claim to be Christian. But It's been pretty nasty. I got to play that again. But go to the website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you can watch it for yourself. All right, to the phones, Lewis in Layton, Utah. What's your take on speaking today?
Well, it's further and farther in between the truth. You have a lot of that seeker-friendly stuff going on, and nobody, but a lot of people are afraid to, speak the truth because of the repercussions. But, the voices, yours is definitely one of them that sticks out. But one of my favorites is James McDonald. You know, they're out there preaching the truth, man. And I cling to preaching and teaching like that because it keeps me centered in my life, knowing that, you know, I don't got to swallow this stuff. You know, I need to stick to the truth, and I need to be encouraged and know that there's people out there who believe the same thing I do.
Lewis, let me jump in and ask you this. When you say that people are afraid to speak out because of the repercussions, what kind of repercussions?
Well, just, just look at, for instance, the whole subject of the homosexuality issue. You know, it's everything's escalated to the point of where if you even say that, shed it in any kind of a negative light, you just get thrashed. You know what I mean? And it's not just that. That's one of the bigger ones I've noticed that's just out of control. But the thing of it is it's just, nobody wants to be faced with their sin. And as soon as you stop preaching the word just like it's supposed to be preached, you're going to get backlash.
Yeah, that reminds me of a quote from Joseph Parker that about preaching repentance. I'll share it on the other side of the break. But, Lewis, thank you for the call, and continue to stand for that which is right. If someone tells me that my voice stands out, that's not positive for me to hear. because I would rather that my voice was one of millions that didn't stand out at all, because millions were speaking the truth. May that be what we come into, as opposed to the opposite. All right, Joseph Parker on repentance. What did he have to say? I'm about to share with you one of my favorite quotes. Quoted it many a time, and it's as relevant now as ever. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. AskDrBrown.org. By the way, for those in the greater Charlotte area, the last week of January, the last week of this month, Friday night, Saturday night, and then at our two Sunday morning services at Fire, I'll be preaching the entire weekend. A weekend to wake up and stir and encourage fresh encounter with God. So if you're able to come to any of the meetings, Friday night, Saturday night, or either of the two Sunday services, that's 9 or 11:30 in the morning, join us, and I would love to minister the word to you. Okay. Oh, and listen, I realized I have one extra book given to me by Frank Turek, and before the show's out today, I'm going to give a book away. That's right. That's right. Before the Joseph Parker quote, listen to this petition again from GLAAD. They have called themselves the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I say they are better termed the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. They're calling on CNN, which is already quite biased in its coverage, quite gay slanted in its coverage, to no longer have anyone on the, quote, anti-gay side representing their viewpoints. They say this: just like us, the media needs to do a little house cleaning. Namely, it is time for outlets to finally drop several hundred pounds of unhealthy weight, which they've been carrying around for years in the form of anti-gay activists. Is it important for the media to take these groups on? Of course it is, but that's not what CNN and other media organizations are doing when it invites these groups to take part in otherwise reasonable discussions. The media is elevating their hurtful messages and attitudes to the level of rational discourse. In other words, it's not rational discourse. What we're saying is not rational discourse. What we're saying is not based on any facts, not based on truthful information, not based on accurate research, not based on accurate study experience. No, it's just anti-gay rhetoric, and it's dangerous. CNN should censor it. Don't give the other side anything to say, because there's no other side. CNN and the rest of the media are doing nothing but exposing their viewers to dangerous anti-gay rhetoric. Hey, can I tell you that in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which will be out within the next 60 days, God willing, I have an entire chapter called Big Brother is Watching and He Really is Gay. That one chapter alone, I could have expanded into a large book in itself. The one chapter alone is worth the cost of the whole book. The one chapter alone will shock you. And I was thinking of this before the show, and I'm going to read the Joseph Parker quote to you in a moment. Remember the old weddings, and is there anybody that has any difference? I don't know what the exact thing was. What? Some of you are quoting it to me. I just can't hear you through the radio airwaves. Is anyone that has anything to say why this couple should not be married, whatever? Let them speak now or forever hold their peace. I felt like that jumped up in me before the program today, and I just wrote it down. Speak now or forever hold your peace. It's a word to believers in this generation. It's a word to Christian leaders in this generation. Of course we walk in love. Of course we model the compassion of Jesus. Of course we mix grace and truth together. Of course we don't get caught up in partisan politics and bashing people. But speaking the truth is costly. Speaking the truth has consequences. Speaking the truth is costing our brothers and sisters around the world their lives. Just by saying Jesus is Lord, there is no other way to God except for Him, that's costly. Just, what was it, yesterday in Egypt, an off-duty police officer, gets on a train and just starts shooting Christians. Killed one, wounded others. And Christian women, obviously identifiable because they're not wearing the Islamic veil, gets on a train, kills a 71-year-old Christian man, wounds his wife, four others. Boom! That's just because they say we're Christian. Listen to what Joseph Parker said. He was a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon. The man whose little sermon is repent sets himself against his age. and will for the time being be battered mercilessly by the age whose moral tone he challenges. There is but one end for such a man. Off with his head. You had better not try to preach repentance until you have pledged your head to heaven. Some of you that are a little older, and those of you in the younger generation that have caught up with Keith Green, you'll remember his song, I Pledge My Head to Heaven. He wrote that based on these very words. He wrote that he had gone away to seek the Lord for a few days, took his Bible, a guitar, and Leonard Ravenhill's classic book, Why Revival Tarries. And Ravenhill had this quote from Joseph Parker. Let me read it again. The man whose little sermon is repent, sets himself against his age, and will for the time being be battered mercilessly by the age whose moral tone he challenges. There is but one end for such a man. Off with his head. You had better not try to preach repentance until you have pledged your head to heaven. Keith Green wrote a very moving song, I Pledge My Head to Heaven for the Gospel. It is very real to brothers and sisters around the world. We are not willing sometimes to take an insult for the gospel or for truth, for speaking the truth in love. As Lewis in Utah said, for speaking against it. We're not talking about angry, mean-spirited, yelling, spitting on people. My spit is like the flames of hell because you won't listen. I'm talking about speaking the truth or urging people with tears that they need to turn and get right with God and be forgiven and not face his judgment or his wrath and not miss out on eternal life in his presence. Love behooves us to do it. Look, I got an email from one of our grads. She's on her way to the Philippines 15 years ago. She was a resident assistant in a little liberal arts college in Illinois. And she was going through documents that she received 15 years ago as a resident assistant. So this is someone helping in the dorms. Is going through her documents, and she got this one on religion and homosexuality 15 years ago from the National Gay Pentecostal Alliance Lighthouse Apostolic Church. That's right, Gay Pentecostal. Some facts to ponder, 13 facts. This is one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen in my life. Your heart breaks for the lost people writing. Are you ready? Some facts to ponder. One, both the Greek and Roman empires considered exclusive heterosexuality and exclusive homosexuality to be abnormal. They believe that all people should be bisexual. Two, the Hebrew Old Testament clearly indicates that King David has a sexual relationship with Jonathan, the son of King Saul. Three, the Hebrew Old Testament clearly documents a sexual relationship between the prophet Daniel and a man named Ashpenaz and indicates that God put Daniel into that relationship. I mean, this is one of the most bizarre things I've ever read in my life, and these people put it together, and somehow this grad of ours, when she was a resident assistant in the secular college, the liberal arts college, was given this probably just educate her about religion and homosexuality. Four, much to the embarrassment of the Vatican, the Catholic theologian Boswell has uncovered proof that up until the 14th century, the church was routinely performing wedding ceremonies for same-sex couples. Aside from the fact that Boswell was a historian at Yale University as opposed to a Catholic theologian, aside from the fact that even Boswell argued for something a little different than wedding ceremonies, we'll put that aside. The social tides, this claims, in Europe began to turn against homosexuality around the 13th century. Up until that time, there was no organized opposition to homosexuality, either from society or from the church. Number nine, there is absolutely no condemnation of homosexuality in the Hebrew Old Testament. Number 10, there is absolutely no condemnation of homosexuality in the Greek New Testament. Look, as pathetic and bogus and off the wall as this stuff is, people actually believe it. We, on our part, keep silent all too much. We come back, change gears a little, and give a book away. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown urging, encouraging my fellow believers to speak up while we have the opportunity, while we have the voice to speak the truth in love, to not hold back, whatever the issue is. Yes, with wisdom. Yes, at the right time. Yes, in the right setting. But if we're silent because of fear of man, if we're silent because of fear of consequences, if we're silent because of fear of inconvenience or whatever it is, my friend, then we are not living as true disciples of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. AskDrBrown.org online. All right, I want to just take a break for one moment from this important subject. I got some stuff. I'm going to get to it. Pretty shocking, but just need to hear just the truth. All right. I've got one more copy of Frank Turek's excellent, wonderful little book on correct but not politically correct, dealing with same-sex marriage, where he demonstrates what's wrong with same-sex marriage without using the Bible. A very, very important, excellent social tool, very readable, very enjoyable. I went through it very carefully before the book was published. So I'm going to read something to you. This will be educational for you also. I want to read this to you. And then you all just have to tell me which country this is, okay? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm not going to give you a list. Just tell me which country this is, and you get a free copy of the book. Are you ready? According to a December 26, 2010 poverty update of this particular country, some 5,500 kids have resorted to stealing food over the past year. What country is this? 2,500 were forced to beg, and 5,000 collected food that was thrown away. 110,000 went to school without lunch. 100,000 have cut down on schoolwork to help provide for the family. 260,000 walked around in torn shoes. Approximately 480,000 children went without dental treatments. The elderly population living under the poverty line does not fare much better than the needy children. According to the report, 71% are unable to pay for medicine and medical services, a 115% increase from 5 years ago. 2 out of 3 senior citizens do not leave home as a result of financial hardship. General data presented in the report shows that 75% of the needy have had to go without meals over the past year. Which country is it? 866-34-TRUTH. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Which country is it? Joey, no need to write down the answers. I'll just get them and find out what our callers have to say. All right, Zach, you get the first guess. What country is it?
Is it the United States?
Nope. Thank you for trying, though. I appreciate it, Zach. All right. What country? 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get to a couple more calls momentarily. I preached Sunday morning in Fort Myers, Florida. A dear friend of mine pastors the congregation, the Word of Life. And I spoke, we were talking about the need for spiritual awakening, the need for moral cultural revolution, etc. And I talked about our calling to be salt and light, according to the words of Jesus in the New Testament, what that meant. I quoted something that I've quoted many times from Dr. Martin Luther King. The church has been reminded it's not the master nor the servant of the state, but the conscience of the state. And that if we lose that voice, then we'll become nothing more than an irrelevant social club, which describes a lot of our activities in the American church today. Dr. King was absolutely right about that. And at the end of the message, I did talk about issues in terms of homosexual activism, etc. I did talk about that. And allowed people to pre-order my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. A man came up to me afterwards from England. He bought 5 copies. He said, people have to know. He said, I've got to get these out to other people so that what has already happened in England, which is unreal, and I document in depth in A Queer Thing Happened to America. He said, what's already happened in England, I don't want it to happen here in America. All right, Larry in Kingsland, Georgia, what country was I describing?
Is it Haiti?
Haiti, no, sir, but thank you for the guess. All right, come on. I know I normally give you lists and make it easier, but what country did I just describe? It was not the United States. It was not Haiti. Again, 5,500 kids have resorted to stealing food over the past year. 2,500 were forced to beg. 5,000 collected food that was thrown away. 110,000 went to school without lunch. 100,000 have cut down on schoolwork to help provide for the family. 260,000 walked around in torn shoes. All right, folks are trying, but you'll get it. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll have time to try to give this book away. I'm going to try. I'm going to succeed before the show is out. So we'll grab your calls on the other side of the break. And, hey, get in line. If one's wrong, then you can come on next. And it was Camille Paglia, lesbian journalist, who said gay activism today has become insanely Stalinist. insanely Stalinist. Whoa. All right, back with more. All right, do you know about college professors fired because they took issue with gay activism or simply homosexual practice? Do you know about that? You know about people fired from their jobs? Do you know about elderly couples in England harassed by police for writing a letter taking issue with a gay pride event in their city? Oh, yeah. all that and more. America, Canada, England, other countries. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Friends, that's a prophetic message to the church in America. Speak now or forever hold your peace. The little bit of voice that we have, even though the door is wide open for us to have it more, the little bit of voice that we've had that's relevant to our society could easily be taken from us if we don't speak. And of course, some will still speak. There'd just be more consequences. Why lose the liberties that our country was founded on? All right. Let me see if we can give this book away successfully. I read some stats right before the break and asked what country I was talking about. Chris, Salt Lake City, what's your guess?
Mexico.
Mexico. No, thank you for the guess, sir. I appreciate it. Come on, somebody's got to get it right. 866-34-TRUTH. The clock is ticking. And don't tell me I'm not going to be able to give the book away. Can I just read those stats one more time to you? I'm not going to read them all. Let's see. 110,000 kids in this country went to school without lunch. 100,000 have cut down on schoolwork to help provide for the family. 260,000 walked around in torn shoes. Approximately 480,000 children went without dental treatments. Among the elderly, 71% are unable to pay for medicine and medical services. 115% increase from 5 years ago. 2 out of 3 senior citizens do not leave home as a result of financial hardship. The biggest fear of 7% of the elderly is dying of starvation. Carla in St. Mary's, Georgia, what's your guess?
Ethiopia.
No, thank you for guessing, though. I appreciate it. All right, so we've had United States. We've had Mexico. We've had a couple guessing Haiti. On the air, off the air, Ethiopia. Of course, sadly, some of these countries, the stats would be far, far higher. About 75% of organizations in this particular country say that demand for food by poor individuals has risen by 27% compared to last year. Rachel in Oxford, North Carolina.
Yes.
What's your guess?
Oh, I was going to guess China.
No, I'm so sorry, but it's nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
All right. Well, tell you what, 866-34-TRUTH, I'm going to give you one last shot to get this book before the show is out. But let me give you my bottom line thoughts first. Friends, the door is wide open for us to speak the truth from our pulpits, from our rooftops, so to say. In the situations we have in life, we have a wide open door for freedom of speech still in America. But the door is starting to close in certain circles. And the reason it's closing is because we're not using the liberties we have. The reason it's closing is because that which has been given to us, we haven't been faithful with. The reason the door is starting to close, and I'm telling you, friend, you don't need to be a prophet receiving a vision from God. I'm telling you, just look at the handwriting on the wall. The door is closing, my friends. If we don't speak now while the door is closing, it will be shut in our faces. And then, just to speak the truth in love could cost us our jobs, our livelihoods, could cost us a prison sentence. Oh, fine. We'll stand for truth anyway. But let's not deceive ourselves. If people won't stand for truth now when it's easy, what are they going to do when it gets hard? All right, last caller, Constance in Charlotte. What country is it?
Charlotte?
No, it's not Charlotte. Thanks for the guess. It is Israel. Israel. That's right. I was talking about Israel. Are you shocked to hear that? A lot to think about today on The Line of Fire. AskDrBrown.org. Till tomorrow.